So welcome back to Christian Discernment, and there is such a thing as moral discernment.
Right. Moral. What does the word moral even mean?
Well, there's even different major subjects, moral philosophy. We had a professor we were golfing with who taught moral philosophy, and I remember one time we were talking about it, and as we were golfing, and he said, you know, there's debate about what moral philosophy actually is. I go, no kidding. And he said, well, the modernists see it one way, the postmodernists see it another way, Christians see it another way. So our discernment is from the Christian point of view.
And, I suppose the simplest is it's about right and wrong.
Right.
What, you know, there are right things to do or wrong things, and where do we get that?
Right.
Where do you discern what is right and what is wrong?
Well, the Garden of Eden, the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, seems like the morality issue got introduced right away.
Right. All right, what is moral life?
For a believer in Jesus Christ, it starts with a relationship. And both of us came from a background where we studied the Heidelberg Catechism.
Heidelberg Catechism. It's a Reformation document.
Yes.
The Reformers felt the need to look at the Bible and then sort of extract broad topics out of it and questions that the Bible answers.
Yes. And one of them was this question. Since we've been delivered from our misery, so again, creation fall now, our misery, by grace through Christ, without any merit of our own, in other words, no moral philosophy or no moral action saved us.
Right.
But then there's this question, well, why then are we moral at all?
Why should we do what's right?
Right. If Christ paid for our sins completely, right. Is there any obligation, any need to even do anything right anymore?
Right.
I mean, that's a good question.
Answer. Go ahead. This is from the Heidelberg Catechism. Because Christ, having redeemed us by his blood, is also restoring us by his spirit into his image, so that with our whole lives we may show that we are thankful to God for his benefits, so that he may be praised through us, so that we may be assured of our faith by its fruits, and so that by our godly living our neighbors may be won over to Christ.
In a lot of ways, there's a lot of moral living, just moral discernment in this, like, but born out of thankfulness to God for
right.
His benefit.
Right. So the motivation to be moral, to do the right thing, is not to earn your salvation.
Right.
Right.
Right. I notice a lot of times people, when they're not believers and they say, I'm a pastor, and we get into some kind of relationship, whether on the golf course or whatever, they assume, because I'm a minister or a Christian, that my morality is my most important thing. And they'll say things like, somebody just cussed or something on the golf course.
Yeah.
And right away, like, that's what they're going to right away say, I'm sorry, Pastor. Because they actually define me by my moral life.
Yeah.
And they don't see that my religion, my relationship with God is the foundational thing. Have you noticed that too?
Yeah. Let's go back to that slide, because it talks about, there's a few reasons of how this works itself out.
Okay.
The foundation is thankfulness.
Yes.
Okay, we're not trying to do the right thing, because if we do the right thing, God will love us.
Right.
Okay, that's religion.
Yes.
Most of religion is spelled D-O. It's what you do. It gets you something.
Right.
Christianity is spelled D-O-N-E. Done.
Done.
Christ earned on the cross for us. But now we are moral not to earn something, but because we've got something. I mean, when someone gives you something for free, do you kick them in the shins?
No.
Or do you say, wow, thank you. Is there anything I can do for you?
Right.
And now you're
gratitude.
Doing it.
Yeah, gratitude motivated.
You're not doing it to get anything. You're doing it because you've gotten something. Gratitude. But there are three benefits that the Heidelberg Catechism mentions here. It says, so that he may be praised through us. So another reason we do it is not just because we're thankful.
Right.
It's also because we get to be emissaries of praise to God.
Right. We align with God, the way he set things up. Right. How to love God, how to love our neighbor. Yes. We align with that to the point where we glorify him for it.
And then secondly, we are assured of our faith by our fruits. In other words, my moral life lets me know I am on the right track.
Yeah.
There must be some faith because I am responding in gratitude and trying to do the right thing. That the right thing is something on my mind and it's something I want to do is evidence that God is in me.
Right. I mean, when we get married, we want to not cheat on our wife,
right,
but love her, even if the temptation in life is to we'll say, no, that is wrong. It is wrong because it does not glorify God. It is wrong because it does not love my wife. But it's just wrong.
Correct.
You know, we have that, like, a sense, a conscience.
Yes.
We develop a conscience. And you know, there's that passage, by the fruits you will know them.
Right.
So it even goes on, like, fruits give evidence.
Yes. And confidence.
Yes.
And then finally, and so that by our godly living, our neighbors may be won over to Christ. So they see that we're people that do the right thing, and that is a winning...
Even if they misinterpret us first.
Right.
As, oh, you're so moral, you don't swear.
Yeah.
It's still, there's something about it that they notice.
Yes. And respect.
Yes.
Okay, you have the Ten Commandments here.
Yeah.
Now the Ten Commandments are actually in the Heidelberg Catechism.
Yes, they are.
There are three sections to the Heidelberg Catechism. The first section is, the Heidelberg Catechism is centered around this. What do you need to know to live and die in the confidence of the grace of God through what Jesus did?
And no, it's what's your only comfort in life. It's the other catechism does that one.
What's right.
That? Westminster.
No, that's Heidelberg.
Whatever
is my only comfort in life and death,
that
I am not my own.
That's right.
I belong to my faithful Savior. So, but the whole thing is organized around sin. I have to know my sin and
misery. Yeah.
Then I have to know my salvation. So it's sin, salvation, and then thankful service, which is what we're talking about, the morality part. So we have the sin section.
Right.
We have the being saved section.
Yes.
And then we have the living in grateful morality as a response to what God has done. Now, where do you think the Ten Commandments
are? Grateful reality.
Yeah,
grateful,
now, but you would think it would be under sin, right? That the Ten Commandments are telling you what kind of sinner you are. Here's all the laws. And these laws are convicting you of not doing the right thing. But the Heidelberg Catechism very interestingly puts them under gratitude.
Yes, grateful service.
I mean, it could go under sin because obviously the law tells you where you failed.
Right. It's interesting in the Heidelberg Catechism when it talks about sin in law, it talks about loving God and your neighbor as yourself, and then says, have you really loved God and your neighbor?
Right.
No, you have dropped the ball there,
and
you need a Savior. But when it talks about you have the Savior, and you come to faith, and then it like pours out, how do you lean into service and service reality and loving and morality? Then it's the whole Ten Commandments.
Yes. And I love that it's sort of a positive, how then shall we live kind of thing.
Right.
In gratitude. Servitude, not you know, we have to do this or God will strike us down, or you know, we have to do this or God won't love us. God is this, you know, father who is a strict father who is hard to please.
No,
God loves us as we are, and once we receive that grace, we want to respond by living for Him. So let's go through the Ten Commandments here.
Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So the people have been led out of bondage in Egypt by Moses. Moses goes up and gets the Ten Commandments, and here they are. So the people don't know who God is at all.
Right.
They don't know who they are. other than slaves. They don't know what their future is. They know nothing. And it's very interesting that this is how God tells them who he is,
right,
and who they are, or their right. potential.
Right. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, in the, nor any image of anything in the heavens above or the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, for I
nor serve
them. For I, Yahweh, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, and showing loving kindness to thousands who love me and keep my commandments. Okay. That's first commandment and second commandment.
Yes.
So no other gods, and don't worship God for something else.
Right. And really, this is like the cornerstone, isn't it?
It's relationship.
It's the cornerstone of, we talked earlier about worldviews.
Right.
And how the common worldview is now trying to take God out of everything.
Yeah.
The Ten Commandments starts with an assumption that God is there.
Right.
And that
he is your God.
And he's not to be competed with. Nothing, anything else that you accept as God, you're settling for something he created.
Yes. He created.
Right.
Yes.
You shall not take the name of Yahweh, your God, in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So a lot of people do this.
Right.
They take God's name in vain.
Right.
They'll say things like, God damn it, or Jesus Christ, or something goes
wrong. Or they'll even do, my parents were even, you shouldn't say, oh my God. Or
even, oh my gosh.
Yes.
Which is just short for God.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And
that was in our home, that was considered, that don't cross that line.
Right.
Honor the Lord your God and don't use his name in vain. Don't create an idol. Don't worship God. I mean, that was talked about every Sunday when we went to church.
Right.
The Ten Commandments were read.
Now, what's interesting in terms of discernment, there are two schools of thought on this. When you hear someone that you're with swear, you should correct them.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That's a horrible thing that they've just done, and now you should correct them. And usually that doesn't go well.
No.
I look at it more like, because it is offensive.
Yeah.
Okay. But I look at it like a great barometer. Someone is sharing where they're truly at.
Yeah.
So when they take the name of the Lord in vain, they're just telling me their connection to God. And they're revealing something hidden and deep. And so now I know what my challenge is with them. So I appreciate it. I don't try to correct it. Because I could correct them, and you know what? All they would do is not swear around me.
Right.
But they're still going to do it. But I'm interested in them actually getting to know the God that they're swearing about.
Right. It's interesting, on the golf course, when somebody says, like, the GD and all of those things, and, oh, Pastor, I'm sorry. And I go, you know what? Thank you. Thank you for your sensitivity. And I'd appreciate if you stay away from the GD words and the taking God's name in vain words, where God, does that mean I can say I feel a thing? You know, I'm okay with that. Now, again, they smile. They know I'm not totally okay with it all. But I'm making it light, but I'm still giving that witness a little bit that, you know, and then they do say, well, why don't you want to use the GD?
Right.
You know, but as long as I don't judge them,
right,
and I give them a compliment for being respectful to say, oh, I'm sorry, minister or pastor.
Yes. Yeah.
It's very interesting.
I remember one time I was skiing, and it was a long run, and some guy had wide skis, and I said, well, how do those work? And he's telling me how great they are, and I'm trying to go, well, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Finally, he was frustrated with my skepticism, and he said, well, why don't you just go and rent a pair of wide skis for Christ's sake?
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And when he said that, I said, I know him too.
Right.
And he said to me, you know who? I said, Christ. And he said, Christ? I said, yeah. He said, well, what does that have to do with our discussion? Right. And I said, I don't know. You brought him up. You said, go rent him for Christ's sake. So then I then proceeded to tell him about Christ and you know, share my faith.
Right, now
we're running out, and he's being skeptical.
Yeah, I was on the wife's team.
He's being skeptical, and finally we're getting to the end of the run. And finally, I was kind of frustrated with him, and I said, well, don't take my word for it. Why don't you try him out for Christ's sake?
Right.
So, there are ways that you can engage with people, and it's a great discerning tool, and there are a lot of different ways of dealing with that. But as a Christian, it's also a good discerning tool for yourself.
Right.
If you find yourself using God's name in vain,
right? Why?
That tells you something too.
Right. One thing I really feel strongly about with the first few commandments about no other gods and don't create an image, and we can talk about them in the details or taking God's name in vain, is really, do you and I really respect God?
Yeah.
You know, and that's a sign of, I find that do I have a passive aggressive thing against God where you would actually constantly have to swear? What's my issue?
Yes.
And if someone else does that, what's their issue?
Right.
Now, here's one thing, is if somebody is swearing and cussing a lot, it does mean they do have a relationship. Because I remember one time I said to a guy who said to me, I don't believe in anything, and then I remember one time, maybe a few too many beers, and he said, I said, I want to go back and ask you, you don't believe in anything? And you go, no! I go, I'd sometimes be a little wondering about that because you always mention his name.
Yeah, you're talking about him all the time.
Yeah, it's like, because I guess I think he had too many beers or whatever, and he was talking constantly, and every other word was, GD and all that. I go, boy, and it's really interesting. We had about a half hour discussion about why, because I wasn't judgmental. See, that's that nuance, to be careful.
Right.
But in there, still at the heart of the heart of the heart, people are related to God somehow.
Yes.
Or some God.
Yes.
When we say about everyone has a religious perspective, a worldview,
right.
That's actually breaking off in the second commandment, where they're worshiping an image, something in creation.
Right.
So there's, the first commandment is, to have another God.
Right, right.
And I don't know if people think to themselves, maybe a New Age God or something, or pagan God could be that.
Right.
But then the second commandment is taking something that God made,
and
like science,
yeah,
and they're locking on that. Right. And then most of them, they say that they have no religious perspective.
Right, right.
No, I don't have a religious perspective. No, you are breaking the second commandment
right.
by elevating something in creation.
Right.
Well, it can even like postmodern to elevate yourself.
Right.
Yeah. But that's still an image.
I am the center of the universe.
Yes. But you're really, you're still religious.
Yes.
And then the third commandment is taking God's name in vain. And, and that sort of is a passive aggressive commandment. Like, he's there, but you don't want to glorify him.
Yeah. Or it's interesting that, why people use God's name in vain, generally it's because they want to put some weight, more weight to what they're saying.
Yeah.
And
that's interesting.
In other words, it's we're, as human beings, we're looking for weight.
Yeah.
We're looking for meaningful or something more than what is, more than what we see.
Right.
And so again, even when people are swearing, they're acknowledging that they're looking for something more important in their life.
Right.
And so, again, in some ways, you're discerning all the nuances of what's going on behind the scenes with this whole topic.
We'll move on to the next one here now. But I will say this. We've thought about this a lot.
Yeah.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You shall labor in 6 days and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to Yahweh, your God. You should not do any work on it. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, your maidservant, your cattle, nor the stranger who is within your gate. For in 6 days, they made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, and your days will be long in the land the Lord your God gives you. Now, there's two things here.
Yeah.
you know, but what's so moral about rest, about worshiping God, about taking time when they're, you know, I mean, when we grew up, we didn't do anything on Sunday except go to church twice.
Right.
And
yeah.
Worship all day.
Yeah.
And then, again, we did other things. I think for a boy to do all those things, but, you know, that was our lifestyle growing up.
I think, you know, to be moral, to do the right thing, requires a philosophy of life.
Right.
That is, you know, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to live.
Right.
And life is so busy with things that just happen to you that I think people, you know, one day just rolls into the next day, rolls into the next day. And in the busyness of our modern life, we never stop and reflect on anything.
Right.
And this pattern of, you know, working 6 days and then taking one day off. And, you know, I know for my family growing up, Sunday was a bit boring.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, you couldn't do anything.
Right.
So there was way more reflection and more time for just going, okay, we're not playing sports today. We're not going to the mall.
No, there was.
So, I mean, we were not allowed to watch TV. We
were
not. I mean, so we had to spend time with the family or sometimes
we had people over. And my dad played accordion then, and I played saxophone. And because there was nothing else to do, worship and playing music was acceptable.
Right.
So, but I learned a lot of the old hymn, In the Sweet By and By, and all these hymns, and the saxophone, and the great memories of my father.
Right.
All of those things happened because we took the time to do that.
And, you know, the 1 in 7, there's like a pattern.
Yeah.
You know, every year we move the year calendar forward.
Right.
And at the end of the year, you reflect on the last year. I mean, it's just the sun or the earth going around the sun and spinning and all those things. It means nothing in some ways, but because we have these patterns, these recurring patterns, we stop. You know, your birthday is, okay, I'm another year older.
Right.
You know, you reflect on your life. And that's what the Sabbath was. It was a weekly reflection point and stopping and going, okay, what is life all about? How do I fit into this? What am I living for? Why am I doing the things that I'm doing? And, you know, we go to church, we hear the word of God, we pray, we sing, we're a part of the church community, and all those things are reminding us of a way of life.
Right.
And that's what morality is. And morality is living a certain way. The early Christians were called the people of the way.
Right.
Because it was a lifestyle.
Right. I love the fact when businesses apply this when appropriate, like Chick-fil-A, who's closed on Sunday.
Right.
I think that's, I love that. And I love any business or any ministry, too, or days off, intentionality. I think part of the Sabbath thing is also taking 15 minutes a day to pray.
Right.
So, you know, or to have that time of reflection. Now, the next one is honor your father and your mother. And why is that moral? Is that, like, why would in grateful living that would be on this list?
Yeah.
I mean, we live in a parent, or actually a child-centered, gentle parenting mode. This goes the opposite way.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, I think it's, you know, a lot of our relationships I would call are the up relationships, people that are in authority over you. So at work, you know, you might have a boss.
Right.
You have parents. You have uncles and aunts. You have your pastor, your elders.
Right.
And you have God. So there's a lot of relationships that are this way.
Right.
And you submit yourself in these relationships.
And part of it, part of the benefit of you submitting to those in authority over you is the people that you're in authority over,
they see how you treat people in authority.
Right.
Then they are more likely to follow that lead and treat you that way.
And society is greatly benefited.
Yes. If you are rebellious against every authority in your life, then why would your kids follow you? Why would your people at work follow you? They're going to be rebellious against you. So the benefits kind of go every direction. So I think that's part of the
honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land. I mean, good things happen to
people who can respect.
And not just
right.
It, not just with your parents, but with your children. It goes both ways.
Yeah, they see how you treat your parents, and you teach them how to respect you when you are old.
Yes.
Yeah, that's powerful. Then there's just this list here that is like how to love your neighbor.
Right.
And you shall not murder.
Right. Because that doesn't make relationships
go
well.
Well, and you know, Jesus reflected on that.
Yeah.
If you hate your brother or sister, you killed them in your heart, so to speak.
Yes. And a lot of relationships are killed. I mean, maybe the person isn't killed, but we have relational cemeteries that, you know, we have this relationship, and then something happens or something doesn't happen.
Bitterness,
and
lack of forgiveness, all that happens.
Yeah.
You shall not commit adultery.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's the whole fabric of monogamy, marriage, all of these things. In fact, in some ways, you shall not commit adultery doesn't seem so practical because so many people are not even getting married. Or,
don't betray trust.
Right.
Don't break your promises, your relational promises. I mean, that's really adult.
Right.
Adult, you made a promise.
Right.
And now you're breaking it.
So whether,
you're betraying.
Whether a married spouse or just any relationship.
A friend. You know, you're betraying. Gossip, really,
is
adultery in some ways. It's
right.
betraying a relationship. You're talking negatively about someone behind their back. They're not there to defend themselves. You're giving an impression to other people that they can't combat.
Right.
And so, what does it breed? It breeds distrust and brokenness, pain, anger, frustration.
You shall not steal.
Yeah. Take some things that don't belong to you.
Right. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Lying.
Yeah. Most of these things you can see are about trust and not trust.
They're like self-evident things.
Yes. Yeah.
You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's.
Right.
So what do you make of that last one, covet? Why is coveting moral?
Yeah, coveting.
I mean, I've looked at it like, you know, equity theory, where you compare, you know, like, you know, my father, a very humble man, was a mechanic. My mother was a factory worker, and I never heard them once coveting what the rich people of the community, or the rich people of the church. In fact, my dad would always say, you know, Ted, he uses his wealth to bless others, and you know, he's just what a great guy. And then some, Mr. Borg was a guy who set up a company where my mom worked in World War II. She worked all through my childhood, and we're so grateful that Mr. Borg set up this company that my mom could. You know what my mom did? 8 hours a day with her fingers, she put parts into little clocks. 8 hours a day. And my mom would be like, you know, she was so grateful for her opportunity. I never heard her thinking like, yeah, the Borgs have this big house, or you know, because they were taught not to covet anything that belonged to their neighbor and to live the life God had for them.
Right. Coveting is sort of like a gateway to a lot of moral breaking.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you covet something, now you end up blaming, why didn't I get this?
Right.
You blame your parents, you blame God.
Right.
Now you're more apt to steal.
Yep.
You're more apt to
commit
adultery.
It's sort of
a thing that sets you up to break all the other commands.
Yeah.
So I think it's one of the most, you know, it's the most destructive thing that people do.
More of a cancer.
It really is, because it sets you up to a host of other issues that come into our lives.
Right.
So that's why I think it's, you know, it's the last one, and that's why I think it's part of this list.
So to wrap this all up, we're talking about discerning morality, but it starts in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and then out of the gratitude of that relationship, we care about doing right or wrong.
Right.
So morality does matter.
It does. You're right.
you know, it's not just optional. It's something that shows the confidence of our actual walk with God.
And I think that, the command right in the middle sort of can go both ways. We're supposed to honor our father and mother. That our days may be long. And I think that little phrase really could apply to all of them. Like, we love God above all else. That's the first four commandments. And we love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the next six commandments. That it may go well in the days of our lives, for all eternity, because morality is not only just being thankful to God. It's not the best way to live.
It's
pleasure theory. You know, people are after pleasure. Yeah. They want to be happy. Well, the happy life is living the way God set it up.
Right.
And that's doing the right thing.
Yes, and all the pleasure will follow.
Right.
Very good. All right.